amazing.
But we can't talk about that without talking about this leak between of the conversation between Trump and Netanyahu, right? So despite sort of claiming insouciance and saying, oh, I don't really care, like, whatever, I'm cool. Like, if we don't get any, if we don't get a deal there, it doesn't matter to me. Behind closed doors, there's a very different Donald Trump. He calls up, we don't know who leaked this, but it's credible. Axios reported, Mark Levin's going crazy, saying they need to find the source and accuse them of treason for destroying the relationship between the U.S. and Israel, whatever. Anyway, he called Netanyahu and said, quote, you're fucking crazy. You'd be in prison if it weren't for me. I'm saving your ass. Everybody hates you now. Everybody hates Israel because of this. Well, and they say Donald Trump doesn't tell the truth. it's like, I give Trump mad points for this. So what it reveals is what, you know, you would kind of expect to be true, but now we know for sure. Basically, Donald Trump has tethered himself to someone who's an unreliable, terrible ally. And now he doesn't know how to get out of it, and he's stuck. It's sort of like when you're dating someone or you're married to someone and they're an asshole, like at dinner to the waiter, and you don't know what to do. You can't really diss them in front of the waiter, but then later you're like, what the fuck was that? That's what this is here. He's in bed with, I mean, the answer here is he needs a divorce. That a divorce would free him. He could date others like Hezbollah and Iran. He would, he likes to do that. And he would no longer be stuck with this like crazy bitch, Bibi. But, you know, that's how this is. But I mean, I don't know if he'll ever see that. I don't know why, whether it's psychological, personal, political, financial, all of the above, something else. I don't know why Trump is in so deep with Israel, but he is. And I mean, and obviously it's literally driving him crazy right now. And everything that Trump told Bibi is true. So it's kind of refreshing to hear that these conversations that, you know, the whole rest of the 8 billion people on Earth are having is shared at the highest levels of power.
I don't know if this conversation is real. Now, don't get me wrong, because look, I saw this out of Axios. Axios has a tendency to be, I would say, a mouthpiece for U.S. intel and for Israeli intel. And they dump the stuff into the chum all the time. Mm-hmm. They would say in a heartbeat, Israel and the United States are at odds. Okay, usually they're not. Usually these guys are on the same page. I am also not of mind, because from my frame of reference, one or two things can be taking place, and a little bit of both. A, there can be the rogue hypothesis, which is that Bibi Netanyahu saw that there were negotiations taking place between the United States and Iran, and they flipped out because of it, in which case they started agitating against it.
Oh, that's totally what happened. Yeah.
Well, that's one idea. The other idea is the U.S. was using Israel to test Iran to see how serious they were about any kind of negotiations or whether Lebanon was included in the mix. To me, both are highly likely and possible. I don't know if...
Well, they can't both be likely. Only one can be likely, but...
Well, no, both can be possible. One can
sure.
be true.
Right. I think I'm taking A for $1,000, Alex. I think, here's the thing. I believe it's true, and here's why I think it's true. First of all, first and foremost, there's been no denial out of Tel Aviv or out of Washington of this claim. That's really key. There would be if the relationship were ruptured to this point, if the relationship was not ruptured to this point, and Axios is talking shit, there would be threats of lawsuits. There would certainly be public statements, full-throated denials. There's been no denial. It's been like, tumbleweeds blowing across my screen this morning. Also, the timing, immediately after this, we know that the two men talked. So we know they both issued statements, and they were both rushing to get their messaging out, right, quickly. I think Netanyahu, when I was looking at my Twitter feed this morning, was a little earlier, but he was like, I talked to Trump and everything's cool. And yeah, anyway, we're going to chill a little bit in, you know, in Lebanon because, like, you know, out of respect deference. And then immediately after that, Trump was like, you know, thank you, Bibi, for doing exactly what I wanted. Maybe peace will last forever. It's awesome. But they were both rushing to get their narrative out. That's something that you do when, especially after you've had a conflict. I mean, if you are both on the same page, you both, you know, carefully massage your statement. The statements are virtually identical, but from your own respective points of view. And then they come out at the same time. The fact that this was like a get it out quickly. And, you know, and it's so, the text is so organic in the way that it's written. It's not like it's not written by committee. I totally believe the Axios report. I think it's 100% true.
It was rushed because all of this stuff was happening kind of on the fly, and all of these guys are in utter chaos in regards to what's happening. This is not strategy. This is them acting on the fly. Second, the United States has a vested interest in blaming Israel for shit that takes place in the Middle East, and they do it all the time. It is policy. It is U.S. policy to claim that Israel is the fault. Israel is the rogue actor. Oh, we would have peace if it wasn't fair. They've done it over and over and over. I've seen them do this 1,000 times, as they've been doing it over the course of the entirety of this war and even over the 12-day war, where they act like Israel has just gone rogue, or that there is some kind of division between the U.S. policy and Israeli policy. I don't know that. I don't buy that. Not, at least not coming out of Axios. Now, give it a day. Where Trump is like, no, we're on the same page. Because usually something...
Well, they will say that. And look, JT, I totally normally agree with you. I think 9 times out of 10, that's exactly what happens. But I think, you know...
This feels different to you.
The thing, it feels different, and it really passes the smell test, right? I mean, it just makes sense. It's like, it reflects like what's actually happening, which is Trump's trying to negotiate a deal with Iran. And like that's at that time, you don't need your ally fucking anything up. You don't need your ally attacking the ally of your counterpart in these negotiations. You just don't need that, right? So there's no way Trump would have approved of the invasion of Lebanon or the escalation in Lebanon or the threat to bomb Beirut. No way. How could he have approved of that?
Why not?
Because he's trying to make a deal with Iran, which he desperately needs because the entire fucking economy of the world is swirling around the drain, right?
So, yeah, but you don't know if they're serious, which is my point. Like, meaning
they're stupid, but they're not. But they are serious.
Yeah, the U.S. pushes and pushes. What if, for the moment, Iran didn't respond in that way? They would have bombed Beirut.
I think here's the part that y'all are both missing. I follow a lot of the Christian Zionist stuff. Like one of my favorite, if you just want to just read something that will just piss you off every day, sometimes 3 or 4 times a day. Called The Pulse of Israel. So basically, I think what this is, they think that Trump is going wobbly, they being the Israelis. And so they leaked this to energize Kufi, Christian Zionist for Israel, AIPAC, a lot of the different groups to start applying political pressure to force Trump, to force his hand, basically to wag that dog. I think that's
what doesn't explain why Mark Levin is on a crusade to crucify the leaker.
Because he can't, first of all, does he know the Israelis leak it? I think that's who did it. I think this is their dog whistle trying to create a backlash.
This is someone who was in the Oval Office in the room.
Maybe.
Where it happened.
We'll see. But I really do think,
you know, there's always like 15, 20 people around, you know, around the speakerphone when these calls are happening.
Well, for sure. But how many of those people work for Israel? How many of them are on AIPAC's dole or they're in that room?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, I mean, but like who's most.
Listen, I could be completely wrong on this, but I think that's what this is.
No, I think you're right. I do think they leaked it. I think they leaked it for that. I mean, assuming the conversation is real and assuming Trump did say that, basically, are you out your fucking mind? Are you crazy? Like, you're trying to destroy the U.S. economy. If that's true,
I don't think he was complaining about the economy. I think he was complaining about, like, you're fucking my deal. Everybody hates Israel because of this. Everybody hates you. That's true.
True, but keep in mind, why is he pissed off? He's pissed off because
he needs an Iran deal, and Israel's fucking it up.
Yes, Israel is fucking up the U.S. economy. That's what I'm trying to get across to you.
Well, that too.
What do you think Iran is doing right now? This is not a war in the traditional sense of war where they're blowing shit up. Yes, they're blowing shit up, but what they're doing is holding straight in order to damage the U.S. economy. Trump wouldn't give a shit if it wasn't for the U.S. economy being right on the teetering. That's what I'm trying to point out. Like, he's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, meaning, yes, I agree with you. I'm willing to kill as many Muslims as you are. You're fucking up my deal because the deal is basically trying to keep the U.S. economy on play.
Right. Well, okay. Yes, no, I totally agree. We have a bunch of comments to get through.
He leaked it for that very specific reason. Trump is weak. Trump looks weak. Pressure, more pressure on Trump.